Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with the book of the prophet Jonah. Remember, yesterday's reading, Jonah did not want to obey the Lord, and he ended up in the belly of a whale. Sometimes we feel like we're in the belly of a whale. And one of the things we ought to say is there any way I'm not doing what God wants me to do? Is there any way I'm doing my own will, or I'm disobedient to the commandments in some way? God isn't going to destroy you. He wants you to repent so that he can bring you to life, so he can bring you to the peace and the joy that you really want, you desire, you hunger for. And as I've said often, so many people try to find that in that kind of peace and joy in all the things that the world offers. And mostly what the world offers is a distraction, because the world can't deliver the kind of peace and joy that only God can give, the peace and the joy that lasts not just for a time, but for all eternity. That's what you were made for, is union with the source of all love and the peace and the joy that comes with it. But in order for that to be realized, in order for you to begin to experience the fruit of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to put him first and his word first. So Jonah decides, well, maybe I can hide it. And he gets on a ship, and there's a disaster on the ship, and they realize that they must have offended God. What a surprise. We never think of that right away when we're in the midst of something disastrous. Have we offended God? How much the world today, with all the hurricanes and the tornadoes, all of us, every one of us, has to ask the question. We can't say, oh, I'm halfway across the world, that doesn't apply to me. It does. It does. We need to take a look and say, is there a way I'm not following the Lord? Is there a way I'm not being obedient to the Lord? And turn before something worse befalls you and me. It's not because God wants to punish us. It's because he's trying to save many people. Are we leading people to Christ? What about our life? What about our job situation? What about our home? Now, you say, well, I can't make the difference, but you can make a difference. You can be an example. You can be a light in the darkness that other people can begin to follow. Start with yourself. Don't try to take care of everything out there. Start with yourself. As your obedience to God grows, it will begin to change the circumstances around you. God starts with you. So don't point the finger, if that person would just do this, we'd be okay. Don't point the finger except at yourself first. First. And say, where am I disobedient? Where haven't I repented? Am I following the right goals? Am I pleasing to God? So we have here Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for this great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready. He didn't argue. He didn't hide. He didn't run. He made ready, and he went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now, Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. He says what God tells him to say. I'm sure that would have been mightily uncomfortable, but he did it. He knew better than to disobey. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, look at that. Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it, and Jonah began his journey through the city, and he had gone but a single day's walk, announcing repentance. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they heard, they didn't fight. They believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. They put on the outward garments to indicate that they were pouring out their lives before the Lord, that they were repenting for their wrongdoing, for their sin, for the evil in their lives. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. He joined them. He didn't say, "What ridiculous things you're doing." He was convicted by the work of God. He heard it, he saw it was true, and he himself repented for his sin. And then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles: "Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand." In other words, the violence that's very close to you. You're just about ready to wring somebody's neck or whatever the case may be. And who knows, God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath so that we shall not perish. So I'm sure it was uncomfortable for Jonah to do this. More than uncomfortable. Difficult. He knew he couldn't have been beaten to a pulp and either killed or cast out. And it didn't happen. The people experienced a certain grace from God, and they responded. And they said yes. They faced themselves honestly, saw what they were doing, and repented. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. Brothers and sisters, let's pay heed. Don't go around speculating, well, is it this person's sin or that? Don't do that. Look at yourself, just at yourself. What part have I played in us becoming a less God-centered culture, country, people? What is my contribution? Not pointing the fingers, except at yourself. What part have I played? Don't compare your part to anybody else's part. Just what part have I played? What do I need to do? Repent and turn from whatever it is that I've done that I see is wrong. Change my life. And then say, "God, enter into my life more fully. Come. Come with your grace. Come with your power. Come with the hope that is you, O Lord. Come and visit us that we may be strengthened and that we may walk in the right way." Psalm 130, "If you, O Lord, mark our iniquities, who could stand?" In other words, any one of us, if God walked up to you or to me and pointed out all our sins and all our offenses, we certainly couldn't stand. We'd be reduced to the dust. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. See, Lord, come. Please forgive. Please restore." We repent of our sins. Do penance for your sin. Choose to do something. Avoid coffee for a week and say, "Lord, I'm offering this to you as a sign that I truly want to repent." It's not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. It says, "I'm taking this seriously." And then repent of your own wicked ways, your own wicked thinking, your own selfishness, your own jealousy, your own envy, your own anger, hatred, bitterness. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened." Come to me, to the source of all life. "If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered." That's what we want. We want our land redeemed as he redeemed Israel, land to be redeemed from all their iniquities, all their wickedness, all our wickedness. Oh, Lord, come and save your people. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. And she had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." That's probably how Martha said it. She was frustrated. She was going about trying to provide all this hospitality and et cetera, and Mary's just sitting at the feet of the Lord, and she got frustrated. We can understand that. But the Lord, look what the Lord said. The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, you're anxious about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." What's he saying? He's saying that her sister is putting the Lord first, the guest first, and she's taking time to be with him. We're not very good at that anymore. We're always in a flurry of activity, and I'm not talking about good hospitality. There is work that does need to be done. But what Jesus is trying to say to Martha, let's get your priorities straight. Mary's chosen the better part. In other words, she's choosing to put me first. Not just what she can do for me, but she's putting me first. She's sitting with me. Now take that image right here, Martha and Mary and Jesus, and apply that to your life. Is Jesus first in your life in the midst of all your busyness? Do you give time to be with him, to grow with him, to build your friendship with him, your relationship with him? Do you experience him as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as your Father, as the source of all love? Do you spend time with him? Because that's what enables you then to go and do much, but you're doing it out of the power of God, the presence of God, not just your own strength, but God's. And God wants to be present in the lives of people who are in distress or anger or prisoners who've murdered. He wants to be with his people, and he wants to use us to reveal him to others. If we don't spend time with him, if we don't sit at his feet, if we don't learn from him, we're so action-oriented. And yes, we need to do sometimes very hard work, sometimes lots of action. But it's got to be rooted, first of all, in a personal time with Jesus every day. Because that's where the real wisdom is. That's where truth is. That's where love is. That's where the source of all we need is. Spend time with him. And that's God's word to us today. And I really urge you, take a look at your daily schedule. Does God have first place or not? God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.